Returning again to Exodus chapter 16, that portion of scripture that we read earlier. And as I indicated there, I want today to preach upon the subject, the manna sent down from heaven. Look with me at Exodus 16 and verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from you. I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider his word today. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy presence with us today already. And O God, we do pray now as we turn to the precious word of God that you would come, Lord, and speak to our hearts. O God, we pray that we'll not just hear the voice of man, indeed that we'll not hear the voice of man, but that we will hear the still small voice of God saying, This is the way, walk ye in it. O God, we do pray that we might leave God's house saying that it was good to have been here, for it was here where the Lord spoke to our hearts. O God, feed us today with the very finest of the wheat. We do thank thee, Lord, and we do praise thee that the word of God is quick and it is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And we pray, Lord, that we'll not just hear a sermon, but, O God, that the word of God will speak to our hearts, touch our souls. Lord, lead us and guide us in thy will. To this end, I pray that you'll fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. O God, I do pray that you might anoint us with the third person of the Holy Trinity. And O God, that you would lead us and guide us as we would seek to preach thy word. Help us to say only those things that will be pleasing to thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The promise of God to send manna from heaven to feed the children of Israel was a blessing that the children of Israel did not deserve. Because of their murmuring against Moses and against the Lord, the children of Israel deserved nothing but the judgment of God. However, in love and grace, God was merciful towards this complaining nation. Not only did the Lord send his people food from heaven at this particular time in Exodus chapter 16, but for the next 40 years, the God of Israel provided manna for the children of Israel to eat as they made their journey from Egypt to the promised land. It was not until they reached the land flowing with milk and honey that the manna ceased to fall from heaven. Exodus chapter 16, therefore, reveals unto us the importance of this manna that came down from heaven. The children of Israel could not have reached the promised land without this manna that they received from the hand of God. It was vital for their existence. God, in his mercy, for 40 years, sent this manna down from heaven in order to feed the children of Israel. Very simply today, I want to consider with you the manna that God sent down from heaven in Exodus chapter 16. And I want you to notice a number of things. And I do pray that the Lord will come and speak to all of our hearts. I believe that there is a message here for each and every one of us, both saint and sinner alike. And I pray that God the Holy Spirit will take the word of God today and apply it to all of our hearts and to all of our needs. And I pray that you will listen very carefully to God's precious truth this afternoon. First of all, I want you to notice the provision of the manna. We read in verse 4, look at it again. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will. Underline those words. Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. The simple truth here is this, that the Lord provided the manna in the wilderness for the children of Israel. The Lord provided this manna in order to keep the Israelites alive during their 40 years traveling in the wilderness. This manna was food for the people of God, and it was God's provision for them. Each morning, apart from the Sabbath day, the manna would come down from heaven to feed the children of Israel. On the sixth day of the week, God would send a double portion so that his people would not have to work on the Sabbath day. They would have enough to eat on the Sabbath day. We can see here clearly that God provided the needs of his people as they made their journey from Egypt to the promised land. And that's the simple truth that we have here in this portion of Scripture when we consider the provision of the manna. God was providing for the needs of his people. It is interesting to note, as you study the Bible, to see how God always provided for the needs of his people. In 1 Kings 17, verse 6, God provided food for Elijah in the midst of a great famine. We read in that text, "And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." And then when Elijah went down to Zarephath and stayed with a widow woman and her son, again God provided for them. In 1 Kings 17, verse 16, we read, "And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord." It was the same in the days of Elisha the prophet. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 6, God again provided for his servant. In verse 6, it says that the oil stayed. In other words, it did not run out. And we could give many other examples where God provided for his children in times of famine and in times of the wilderness travels. The truth is, child of God, the Lord always provides for the needs of his people. And you know, that's a simple truth, but it is a truth that we need always to remember. Let us never forget that every time before we eat the food on our table, that the Lord has provided that food for us. The food in our cupboards today. We'll go home and we'll get our dinner. Let us not forget that the Lord has provided that for us. Many fail to thank the Lord before they eat the food, for that food on the table. Oh, child of God, even in this little simple thing, let us not be unthankful. The very food that we're going to eat today, it has come down from heaven. God has provided it for us. In Philippians 4, verse 19, we read, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Here we have the promise of God to all of his people on earth. If we trust in the Lord and obey his word and live according to his truth, God will always provide our need according to his riches in glory. And that's what we have here in Exodus chapter 16. The Lord has called his people out of Egypt, and he has led them into the wilderness. And of course, they're going to be in the wilderness for 40 years. God provided manna from heaven so that his people would stay alive. But men and women, remember this. There is more to life than the physical. There is the spiritual. And the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This manna that we read about in Exodus chapter 16, I believe is a wonderful type and picture of the Word of God. And just as the manna in the wilderness sustained physical life, so the Word of God, accepted and received in the proper way, sustains spiritual life. After we're saved by the grace of God through faith alone in Jesus Christ, if we want to grow in grace, we must daily feed on the Word of God. I wonder today, have you fed on the Word of God? I wonder this week, have you fed your soul upon the Word of God? Not only has the Lord provided for our physical needs, but the Lord has also provided for our spiritual needs. And if we want to grow in grace, we must daily feed on this precious word that he has given to us. The Bible says, "Search the Scriptures daily." And as the manna in the wilderness was sweet to the taste, it was like wafers made with honey, verse 31 tells us, and we're going to say a bit more about that in a moment. So the word of God is also sweet to the taste of the child of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 103, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." And in Psalm 19, verse 10, we read concerning God's word that it is sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And of course, as God gave and provided the manna in the wilderness, God has given and provided us with his holy word. In John 17, verse 8, Jesus said concerning the Father, "For I have given unto them the words which thou givest me." Oh, dear child of God, let us feed upon God's word day by day. It is manna to our souls, and God has provided it. In 1 Peter 2, verse 2, we read those wonderful words, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby." God has given us manna from heaven. And every time we read the word of God and study the word of God, it's God's manna to our very souls. That's why we need to love it more. That's why we need to read it more. That's why we need to study it more. That's why we need to obey it more. That's why we need to live in the light of its teaching. And let us never take it for granted. You know, the truth is that throughout the wilderness journeys, the children of Israel took the manna for granted so many times. And you know, sometimes we can be like that, even in this 21st century. We can take the food and the table for granted. And certainly we can take the precious word of God for granted. But this year, as we look into 2014, may the Bible be a new book to us. Let us pray that the Lord will come and give us a fresh love for it, and a fresh desire to study its pages and the truth that is contained within it. And even if we have read it many times, and I know that there are those of you who have read and gone through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation many times in your Christian experience down through the years. But oh, even when we read the familiar stories of the Scriptures of truth again this year, let us pray that the Lord will teach us something new. Because, child of God, there's always something new to learn from the precious, precious word of God. What a treasure we have in the Scriptures of truth. This is God's word, God's inspired word, God's infallible word. The Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, God says, shall stand forever. And the Bible tells us that God's word is forever settled in heaven. Oh, let us thank God for the manna, this spiritual manna that we have, that we can feed upon from day to day. And let us pray that we'll not let a day go past, that we'll not open this book and read it. Am I, even those of you who are unsaved, do you read your Bible? Do you study the Scriptures of truth? I would encourage you to do that. My friend, if you want to know the truth of God, if you want to know God's will for your life, even those of you who are not saved, read the Bible. Consider what God says in His truth. And I believe that as you read the Word of God, the Lord will open up your mind and even open up your heart to receive the message of the gospel that is found in this truth. Oh, the provision of the manna. The provision of the manna. But notice something else here. Turn back again to Exodus 16. I want you to notice the description of the manna. I want you to notice under this point how the manna is described in the Bible. Take a look with me there at verses 14 and 15 first of all. "And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing." Underline that. "As small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, 'It is manna.' For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, 'This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat.'" Now look at verse 31 as well. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Now from these verses that we've read, we learn a number of things about this manna. We learn about the name of the manna. We learn about the size of the manna, the colour of the manna, and the taste of the manna. This food that God sent down from heaven for the children of Israel to eat is given four names in the Bible. It's given the name of manna, verse 15. It's given the name of bread, verse 15 as well. It's given the name of angel's food. If you read Psalm 78 and verse 25, you will discover that. The psalmist there in that text of scripture describes the manna as angel's food. And also in that text, Psalm 78 verse 25, manna is described as meat to eat. The size of the manna is also given. The manna is described as a small round thing in verse 14. Underline that. It is described like coriander seed, verse 37 of Exodus 16. Now, a small pea in our culture today comes about as close as anything to describing the size of manna. Therefore, manna was very small indeed, only about the size of a pea in a pod. So it wasn't very big, it wasn't very large, sure it wasn't. The colour of the manna was white. Verse 31 again of Exodus 16 reveals this to us. Being white helps us understand why it is compared to hoarfrost in verse 14. And of course, being white made it easy to be seen. The manna tasted like wafers made with honey. Verse 31, we have read the verse already. Therefore, the manna had a sweet taste. It was not bland. It was not tasteless, but it had a sweet taste. Therefore, although this manna was very small and seemingly of little value, the truth was that this manna was of great value. And God used it to keep the nation of Israel alive in the wilderness for 40 years. Let's just look at that again, Exodus 16, verse 35. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came onto the borders of the land of Canaan. God used this little thing called manna to sustain the children of Israel, and he used it for his glory. Never forget that. And the people were never to forget the manna after the wilderness journeys were over. Take a look at verse 32. And Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord commandeth, fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt." And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron led it up before the testimony to be kept." The manna was to be kept, and God would preserve it for the generations to come so that they would remember how God used this little thing to keep a nation alive for 40 years. You see here the description of it and the importance of it. What do we learn here? We learn this. God uses little things to bring glory to his name. Oh, child of God, let us never forget that. Little is much when God is in it. This manna would have been despised by the nations surrounding Israel. This manna would have been despised by the ungodly. This little thing would have been despised by the heathen. But God used it to preserve a nation. And through it, he glorified his name. You know, God uses small and insignificant things to accomplish His will and to glorify His name. Do you ever think of the little things that God used in the Bible to bring great glory and honor to His name? In Judges 15, verse 15, God used the jawbone of an ass in the hand of Samson to slay 1,000 men. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 40, God used a small stone and a sling in the hand of a shepherd boy called David to slay a giant. In John 6, verse 9, the Lord Jesus used 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes to feed over 5,000 people. In 2 Kings 5, verse 2, the Lord used a little maid to bring healing and salvation to the home of Naaman the leper. We should never despise the day of small things. In 1 Kings 18, verse 44, out of a little cloud the size of a man's hand, God brought a great rainfall. And with a little and small thing called manna, God fed a nation for 40 years in the wilderness. Oh, child of God, you and I may be little in this world. As far as this world's estimation is concerned, we may be small and insignificant. But the truth is, dear child of God, the Lord can take your life and the Lord can take my life and glorify His name. Isn't that a wonderful thought? The Free Presbyterian Church is a very small denomination in this world, even in this country. We're hardly barely recognized. But the truth is that the Lord can take us and He can use us if we yield our wills to His will. The manna was completely given over to the Lord. How we need in these days to give our lives completely over to the God of heaven. You and I may think that we are little, of little importance, but the truth is God wants to use us. There's a wonderful and tremendous passage of scripture. Keep your hand in Exodus chapter 16. And it's found over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Indeed, it's one of the portions that the Lord used to call me into full-time service. Take a look with me at 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 27. And you'll read these tremendous words. Underline them in your Bible. It says, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." The reason why God uses little insignificant things is to bring glory to His name. And there's no doubt that the Lord used the manna in the wilderness, this little insignificant thing, to glorify His name. Oh, child of God, I pray that in this new year that we have just entered into, that we will give our lives afresh over to the Lord, that we will dedicate our lives to the Lord and let the Lord use us in whatever way He sees fit. But one thing is for sure, He wants to use us. He wants to use you and He wants to use me and He wants to use us for His glory and for His great name's sake. Now, there's something else I want you to notice about the manna. Not only the provision of the manna, not only the description of the manna, but I want you to notice the instructions concerning the manna. Turn back again to Exodus 16. The instructions that God gave Moses concerning the manna were very simple. I just want to list them here, and I want you to listen very carefully. First of all, the people were to gather the manna every day in the morning, and they were to gather just as much as they need it. Take a look at what it says in verse 4. "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day." A certain rate every day. Look at verse 16. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating. An omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them what which are in the tents. Look at verse 21. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. So the people were to gather the manna every day, and they were just to gather what they needed. Secondly, the people were not to keep any of the manna until the next day. If they did, it would rot. Look at verse 19. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wrought with them. They were just to gather that day what they needed. They were not to store up the manna to the next day, because God was going to send them fresh manna the next day. And of course you can see there in verse 20 that some of the children of Israel disobeyed the command of God, and the manna rotted and it started to stink, because they did not obey the Lord. They did not follow the instructions that God gave to Moses. Thirdly, they were not to go out to look for the manna on the Sabbath day. Look at verse 26. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. God would not send the manna on the Sabbath day. And of course there were those who disobeyed, and they went out looking for the manna on the Sabbath day. Look at verse 27. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And of course the Lord was angry with them when we read verse 28, because they were working on the Sabbath day, and they went out to work on the Sabbath day and gathering this manna. But they were not to look for the manna on the Sabbath day. Also, the people were to gather twice as much manna on the sixth day, which would feed them on the sixth and the seventh day. Look at verse 22. The instruction was given, and it came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much manna, 2 omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. These were the instructions to the children of Israel concerning the manna. And if they followed these instructions, they would live. But if they did not follow these instructions, they would die. And as long as they followed the instructions that God gave to Moses, then they would be blessed. And the manna would always be there. And the Lord would always provide for them. What do we learn here? Well, men and women, the Bible is God's instructions to man. We have already said that the manna is a type or a picture of the Word of God. The Bible reveals to us God's instructions to you and I. And if we obey God's instructions, in other words, if we obey God's Word, then we will live. If we do not obey the instruction that God has laid out in His Word, then we will die. The Bible reveals unto us how sinful man can live eternally. Sinner, if you follow God's instructions, He will save your precious soul for all eternity. But if you fail to follow God's instructions, then you will be lost for all eternity. Here we have a word for the unsaved, for those in our gathering who know not the Lord Jesus as their own and personal Redeemer. In 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 6, we are told that many in the city of Thessalonica, after hearing the message of the gospel, in other words, after hearing the instructions of God, received the word with joy. In other words, they accepted the instruction of God as far as their soul's salvation was concerned. And because they received God's instruction and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and repented of their sin and by faith accepted the Lord as their Redeemer, they lived. And they lived eternally as far as heaven was concerned, because when they came to die, they went to be with Christ for all eternity. They received the word with joy. In other words, they received the instruction that God had given them. My friend, you're in this meeting today. Are you willing to receive the instruction of God as far as your soul's salvation is concerned? The Bible says you're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says because of your sin, you're heading to hell. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But the Bible says that God sent his only Son to die upon a cross and shed his precious blood in order to redeem man from hell. And if you trust in him, if you believe in him, then he will save you. And that's God's instructions to your heart this Lord's day. And let me emphasize it again. To your heart, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Sinner, are you willing to accept the instruction of God today as far as your soul's salvation is concerned? We read that tremendous text of Scripture over there in John 1 and verse 12. It says, "But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." That's God's instruction, that you receive Christ as your Savior, that you turn away from your sin and trust the Lord Jesus as your Redeemer. And thank God for all those who receive Christ by faith. They receive everlasting life. Over there in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, and the verse 40, we read these tremendous words. Words again that so many of us will know so well. What tremendous words they are. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. The people gladly received him. The problem today is, the people will not gladly receive the Lord. They will not gladly receive Christ as their Savior. And in not receiving Christ as their Savior, they are refusing the instruction of God. Oh, my friend, if you're ever going to enter heaven and escape hell, you must receive Christ as your Savior. You must receive him. That means turn away from your sin and accept him as your own and personal Redeemer. That means coming and humbling yourself before God and crying unto him for mercy. Do you realize today that you need the mercy of God? You need the grace of God. You need the salvation of God. And thank God, the Word of God teaches us clearly and shows us clearly how man can receive Christ and receive everlasting life. The instructions are clear. Just as the instructions for the children of Israel concerning the manna, they were clear instructions. There was no doubt what God wanted the children of Israel to do in the wilderness. In regards to the manna, it was set forth point by point in clear terms and in black and white. And my friend, it's the same when it comes to your soul's salvation. God has set forth in his word clearly what you must do. What you must do. My friend, there's a sense in which there's nothing that we can do to save our souls. We can't. The Lord has provided salvation for us. Christ had to die. We could not die for our own sins. He had to die. He had to shed his precious blood. Salvation is of the Lord from start to finish. But the truth is this, that if you want to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you must accept him. You must turn from your sin and you must believe on him as your own and personal Savior. You must exercise faith in him. Before the manna could do the children of Israel any good in the wilderness, they had to go out and they had to gather it. God provided it. Every morning it was there. For 40 years, God sent it down from heaven and the instructions were clear. But before it would do them any good, they had to go out and they had to gather it. And they had to prepare it My friend, before you can know God's salvation today, you must receive God's truth. And you must believe it. And you must seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. Are you willing to do that today? Oh, my prayer is that at the beginning of this new year, that those who in this church have rejected Christ for so long will come and trust him. Years are marching on. Time is going on. None of us know what this year will bring us. None of us know what this day will bring us. That's why I exhort you, those of you who are still unsaved, that's why I exhort you today. I plead with you. Come to Christ today. Come and trust him today. For tomorrow you might be in God's eternity. Oh, thank God you're still in the day of grace today. You still have God's word before you today. The instructions are simple and clear for you to follow today. Would you follow them? Would you partake of that manna? Would you eat of that manna in God's way? Praise God if you do. You will receive everlasting life. And you will be saved for time and for eternity. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the manna sent down from above. And we thank thee, Lord, for these simple lessons and these simple truths that we have gleaned from the manna today. We thank thee, Lord, that you provide for your people. Physically and spiritually, day by day, Lord, you provide our every need. And we thank thee for that, Lord, for the food on the table and the clothes on our back and the roof over our head. We thank thee for the spiritual food, the word of God that feeds us day by day. We thank thee, Lord, that as the manna was small and insignificant, and yet you used it, Lord, you can use us today. We may be small and insignificant as far as this world is concerned, but Lord, little is much when God is in it. And Lord, you can take the little things and the despised things and you can use them for your own glory and for your own honour. Lord, use us today. Use us in thy service. That's what our prayer would be in 2014. Use us, Lord. Use us to point men to Christ. Use us, Lord, to restore the backslider and see them walking again with thee. Use us, Lord, to build up the people of God in their most holy faith. Use us in this pulpit. That's our prayer, Lord, that we might know the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Lord, use us for thy glory. And oh God, help us all to follow the instructions of God in this book, but especially the dear unsaved. Oh God, in our congregation. Oh God, may they by faith today accept the Christ of God and come and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. We thank thee and we praise thee, Lord, for all thy mercy. Bless us now. In Jesus' precious, precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen.